So how did the idea for Satanic Hell come about?
Well, I used to create and publish underground comics and zines in high school and college. And the name in the band Satanic Hell started out as this group of skeleton metal rockers returned from hell. And it was the name Satanic Hell came from my it was a reaction to my friend's life in high school. He grew up in this Assembly of God household where everything was, not, I guess everything sort of like secular was considered satanic. So books like Lord of the Rings, for example, heavy metal music, role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons, all of these things were considered works of the devil. And so Satanic Hell was a satirical reaction to this really strange Christian fanaticism with all things satanic. And at the time, there was this war against, this war against Satanism, I guess, and heavy metal music. Judas Priest was on trial for backmasking suicidal messages in their music. The PMRC was cracking down on alternative culture. So that's where the idea came from. And when digital comics became a reality, I really felt the need to return to the medium because basically it opened up the door for self-publishers and creators to do something without having the financial barriers. And I had worked on Satanic Hell as a movie script, basically. I had taken up the idea as a movie script almost just for fun, and I had written it on and off for 5 years until it was ready with strong editing from my brother Chris. And when I found out about digital comics, I decided to turn it into digital comics.
How important was getting, the idea of what this music represents in the comic? I mean, the first page, you have the Joe Strummer quote. You got the, Lemmy influence right in the beginning. I mean, how important was it to you to like get the reader to feel like you knew what you were talking about as far as the music was concerned?
Well, I grew up on punk and metal, and the whole thing was fueled on punk, metal, and sci-fi fantasy. I mean, these were the inputs I was taking while I was creating the comic, writing it, and then even working on finding artists and everything. So it really informs from the core the whole thing. Having said that, though, I'll say that it's certainly an important part of the story, I think that people outside of metal music and punk would certainly enjoy it as well. Anybody into dystopian fiction, for example.
Okay, the art is super, super awesome in this comic. I mean, obviously every comic book needs good art to just to be able to stand tall because of the medium itself. But I mean, that first page, you just got that really crazy looking car with the sun in the background. I mean, how important was it for you to get the team that you did? I mean, Enhart and Anderson are just super solid here. How important was it for you to have them help you tell the story?
Well, I read a lot of independent comics growing up, and I knew that I wanted a certain kind of look to it, and I didn't want it to be a traditional sort of like mainstream feel. So I was looking for a specific kind of artist, and I just started searching, and Newell Anderson was the first artist who responded. This was last year, and his work was really impressive, and he did a lot of the concept art for the comic, and we ended up using a lot of his art. On the, for example, the cover, and there's some images inside. When I found the series artist Kevin Enhart, he was just somebody who immediately, I got lots of replies, but he was someone who immediately understood the vision and was really excited about the potential for the comic. So it worked out really well, and he had experience as a sequential artist, so I knew that we could get this job done. And he recommended Jimmy Karrast, a friend of his, for the colors. And Jimmy's work was phenomenal. He had done a lot of book covers and art for various publishers and horror fantasy magazines. And yeah, Kevin and Jimmy both are from France. So they both live and work from France. And so they have like a good, they had a good working relationship. And yeah, just I think we work really well together. The team has excelled. We have a good working relationship, so I'm really happy about it.
How influenced are you guys by, you know, the work of, you know, Greg Capullo and like Brian Michael Bendis? I mean, because this series, I mean, just reading the first issue, it feels like you guys could have easily hung out with those guys in the early 90s when Image Comics was like first kind of getting its start. It has that really like edgy look and feel. Like, what really inspires you guys comically?
You know, I can't speak totally for Jimmy and Kevin, but I can say that, you know, from having talked to them and having, seen their likes, that, you know, those certainly are influences for sure. And we've been seeing lots of people compare the colors of Jimmy Karrasch to Ben Temple Smith. So, yeah, I would say that certainly those are influences for the artists.
What are your goals for this series? It's a 7-issue, you know, mini series, but do you have hopes and aspirations to take it further than that?
I wanted to follow up to one of your earlier questions, and then I'll answer that. The image at the beginning with the hearse, you know, this badass hearse, I had really thought about that image a lot when I was writing the story, and I wanted the opening image to be powerful. And I was really listening to Hawkwind's version of Motorhead for a long time. I love that song. And, you know, it just felt like the perfect entry. So I already had the music and the background set up. And, you know, we've got this hearse. It's got like a skull hood ornament, you know. I was thinking of Mad Max there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first scene had to establish the music a little bit, and the fact that they're going into this new land, basically.
Okay.
For the series, it's just. The plan right now is to complete this 7-issue series. You know, we're going to do it digitally and distribute it to many places, so people will be able to pick it up on many platforms. And then, you know, after that, you know, we'll see how it does. And I think ideally, potentially, a print publisher could pick it up for print, like an indie print publisher. Would be what we'd like, but I mean that's so far ahead that right now we're just focused on getting the 7 issues done and doing a solid series.
Okay, how would you sell this to a comic book fan that's never seen it before? Like, how would you grab them and say, listen, this is something that you need to check out?
I would just say, look, this is an amazing. Not amazing. I would say this is a. I would say, that's a good question. I would just say, look, if you like music, you know, this is a fun comic that asks some important questions, and it's a wild ride. It's about a metal band that gets trapped in a religious dystopia in the state of Texas, which is now run by a council of religious fanatics. And, you know, the band quickly gets in trouble with the council of churches, and has to basically they have to figure out what they want as the future for their band as they face off with the council. And, I'd say fans of, if you're into dystopian fiction, if you're into science fiction, if you're into rock, punk, metal, you'll enjoy the story.
Do you think it's kind of interesting that, this band is surviving in Texas in the underground scene, and you kind of, like, had the dream for this comic, like, working on underground comics?
I think so. I think there's a connection there. When I first, you know, the first incarnation of this band many years ago was a different concept altogether. I took the name, Death Priest, kept his name, but then I sort of redid the whole band and the whole story. But just the idea that, you know, Satanic Hell being sort of a reaction to, you know, this right-wing Christianity and their sort of irrational fears. So I wanted to play on that, and the name was perfect for that. And I think the idea that you know, Satanic Hell starts out as this group that's struggling in LA. They can't find their audience, and they get this call from this promoter Sam in Texas, who claims that they're big in Texas, to their surprise. So yeah, they're thriving. Basically, the band is thriving in this environment, this repressive environment.
Okay, as far as, let's just say someone's read the first issue and they really dig it and they're kind of wondering what's going to happen next, without obviously any spoilers, can you give us any hints, like what should we expect?
As the band ventures deeper into the heart of Texas, the tension rises between the Council of Churches and the group, and the three members are challenged with their own internal problems as the pressure on them builds, and the basically inevitable confrontation between them and the council.